That was good. Good, good, good. I love the presence. I love the presence of the Holy Spirit. Oh, okay. Read this. Oh, okay. I have a couple of prayer requests. Cindy's out with her back. Stacy's been getting dizzy. And then Priscilla, they're moving out on their own. And hope Jesus will help them through their life. So we definitely want to pray for them as we prepare for the offering. There are envelopes in the front of you in the back of those chairs if you'd like to give by cash or check today. We also have three other ways you can give: by mobile app, Tithely, where the link is, the QR code. Also PayPal me at arisechurch.cc. We'll take you there. Is it there? No. Okay, there we go. Thank you. There's the QR code. It'll take you straight to Tithely if it's easier that way. And we're just so glad that you're with us. So I'm going to pray over the offering and over these prayer requests. Father, I just thank you. I thank you that what we experience, not only on our own time in your presence, but as the corporate worshipers, in this glory that you have in this room, Lord, we are so grateful. May we never lose the wonder of being able to experience you in this way. That in the times of the Old Testament, they died. They couldn't touch your glory. But now we become inhabited by your glory. And in this moment of worshiping you, and pouring out our love to you through song, Father, and now through giving of our tithes and offerings, Father, we just are so grateful, so grateful. Lord, I set my intention with all the chaos that surrounds us in this life to set my intention to be grateful for who you are and what you do. And so I thank you for the givers, and I thank you for the healing of Cindy and the healing of Stacy. Father, whatever is going on with Stacy's equilibrium, we speak to her body in the name and in the authority and the power of Jesus that you have given us to call that body into alignment with your will. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done in her earth, in her body, from the top of her head to the soles of her feet. Father, it's the same for Cindy. We speak to the nerves in her back and to the muscles and the tendons and everything else that is coming to bring pain. We tell pain you are trespassing and you have no right. She belongs to Jesus. We release the kingdom over her body from the top of her head to the soles of her feet. And as Priscilla moves out, Lord, I ask that you would divinely guide her steps. May her heart and mind turn to you for the wisdom. Lord, you said to ask for wisdom and you would give it liberally. Lord, we all need your wisdom. So we ask for wisdom for Priscilla as she begins her life out on her own. We thank you that we will see your goodness in the land of the living. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, ushers. You can go ahead. Pastor is going to be starting today. Get ready to grow. Get ready to grow. We were talking about this last night, and I said, I did say some of it, but I said, should have named it, are you ready to confront your BS? Your belief system. Now, if y'all minds went somewhere else, I'm sorry. Your belief system. Because we all have beliefs that things in life, as the Holy Spirit brings them, he doesn't come in and say, you've got all this wrong about me. You've got all this, you've been taught all that about me wrong, or you've got this misunderstood. He don't come in and slam you with everything. It's little by little. And you've heard us say over and over and over again, if you're still believing what you believed a year ago and you haven't expanded your heart and mind to increase in the knowledge of the Lord. I mean, do we really think we know it all? Do we really think we have a handle on it all in our little 60 years we've been here, or 70 years, or 20 years, however old you are, that we could possibly just know it all about the Bible and know it all about God? And he comes in and he just brings a little thing across your path that confronts your belief system. I was talking last night, and I was telling someone this morning about when I was raised that you give your life to Jesus, but if you backslide, you're going to go to hell. And we were living, well, I wasn't living, but he was living as fast and hard as he could for the enemy. Lying, cheating, drinking, everything you can do to destroy your life and your marriage, he was doing. Well, and I married him for the ministry, okay? So there, people backslide, but there ain't nothing worse than a backslidden preacher, let me tell you. And that's where we were. And he was working for Walmart, set up team. He was setting stores all over the country. And we were down in South Louisiana for my sister's wedding, and he met me there. And I watched him at my sister's wedding and everything, and he was drinking. My whole family were appalled because they knew I got married to a preacher, and they couldn't figure out what had happened in these 3 years. And he's just drinking and partying and having a good time. And then later that night, he said, I had the best time in the Holy Spirit on the way down from Macomb. He was in Mississippi. I said, what? Now, see, I was raised, if you're drinking and you're cheating and you're backslidden, you're going to split hell wide open if you die. That's how I was raised. You backslidden, there's no hope. You know, you got to come to the altar, you got to repent, you got to beg your wife to forgive you. You know, all these things had not happened. And he's telling me, I prayed in the Holy Ghost. I was just overwhelmed in my car by the Holy Ghost, and I just prayed in the Holy Spirit in tongues all the way home, all the way down here, 4 hours. He said it was so amazing. At that moment, my BS, my belief system, was in direct conflict with what he's telling me happened to him. No, Holy Ghost is not in you anymore. He jumped out when you messed up. He don't jump out, y'all. He don't jump out. He's with us all the time in the middle of the mess. But you know, I had a choice. I could say, oh, well, that's just a one-off occurrence, right? That's just something that happened to him, but that's not. But I had to open my heart and open up my mind and go looking and studying for myself, because obviously what I had been taught and preached my whole life growing up in church was not true. Are you ready to confront your belief systems? That's how we grow. And I could have story after story after story, y'all. And I knew I was going to be a pastor when I was 4 years old. I was raised up, filled with the Holy Spirit, 8 years old, chasing God. And I have learned that a lot of stuff is not true. He's gooder. He's better. And I want to grow, and I want to become more, and I want to open my heart to know who he truly, truly is. And story after story, and I'm sure he's going to be doing, are you ready to grow for the next 4 weeks? So I'm sure he'll be sharing some of the stories where our BSs together and our BSs separately have slapped us in the face. There are times that when we were confronting the Holy Spirit was bringing some stuff for us to confront about what we believed. I was throwing books across the room. Shut up! This can't be right! I was raised this way! That can't be right! I was so upset. But the truth was, it was so much better. He's so much better. His kingdom is so much better. But are we willing? Are we going to just stay in our self-focused ideas. I have to go to the nursery, but we'll be watching. It's going to be good. It's going to be good. I'm looking to see. Okay, we got Grandparents Day. There's a scripture here. Only be careful and keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things which your eyes saw, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life, but make them known to your children and your children's children. Deuteronomy 4:9. And today is Grandparents Day, and we're going to celebrate that right after I finished this announcement. We got baptism next Sunday at Sillamore Creek Campground at 2:30. There's three or four people that are excited about getting baptized, and we're happy for them. And so you are all invited to join us for that. And then all of our announcements are on Facebook and on our risechurch.cc page. Go ahead, Becky. Grandparents, you are celebrated today. Grandchildren, you're celebrated right along with them. We're so thankful that God has blessed us with grandchildren. Okay. I am needing help in the nursery and for children's church. I need two people for nursery, and I need two people for children's church. And I was going to announce sound, but somebody, Holy Spirit, has already been working on and came this morning and said, I'll help with sound, and we are so excited. So if you can help, it would be one time a month. I need two people for the nursery one time a month and two people for children's church one time a month so that Becky can get a free Sunday and then I can get a free Sunday in here as well to come in and not have to be in the nursery. You know, Becky Fudge has been here her whole life, I don't know, 30-something years in this church. She's missed four Sundays in 16 years. Four Sundays. What a blessing she is to y'all. What a blessing she is to this body. What a blessing she is to us. And so we're thankful and grateful for her service, and we just need some help. So you pray about that.
Amen. You guys all right today? All right. Well, open your Bibles up to where are we going? Let's just go where I go, okay? How about that? Open your Bibles up to Acts chapter 4, verse 5. I don't know why y'all don't know little Laura's the boss, because she is. She's back there talking to, trying to straighten out Becky Fudge. Amen. Well, you guys all right today? My wife really did a good intro for this message, didn't she? Sweet Karen. Amen. So starting in verse 5. Let me give you some background. Peter and John have been arrested, not because they broke the law, but because they prayed over, they spoke Jesus over a lame man, and he began to walk, which caused a lot of problems with the Jewish religious authorities. They weren't very happy about that. I don't know why it bothered them so much, because it wasn't on a Sabbath; it was just on a regular day, just a regular day. There were no drums playing, you know. Nobody had any anointing oil. There was no altar call. There was just two guys going to the temple, and they saw a need, and they met it, not with what they had monetarily, but they met it with Jesus. Amen? Laura, have a good time. Child. So starting in verse 5, they've been arrested, they bring up the trial, and in verse 5 it says, the next day, the rulers and the elders and the scribes assembled in Jerusalem with Annas the high priest and his father-in-law, Caiaphas, and John and Alexander. Those were all members of the high priest family, who were all of the high priestly family. Thank you, Luke. When they had made the prisoners stand in their midst, they asked them, "By what power and by what name did you do this?" And Peter, we know Peter. Peter's like an old friend, isn't he? I mean, we would like Peter. If Peter were around today, we would like Peter. We just would. I mean, he always had something to say. He was going to do something dumb enough so that the rest of the other disciples didn't have to worry about Jesus seeing what they were doing, right? Because he was just that kind of person. He wasn't the class clown. I don't want to call him the class clown. But he's listed in the Bible quite a bit, in the Gospels, isn't he? And quite a bit in Acts also. And so he speaks up, because you got to understand this. Peter didn't start off like this. Peter started off as a fisherman, right? I mean, just a few weeks ago in the story, in the Bible, a little over a month ago, he cut off a temple guard's ear because he couldn't control his fight or flight emotions in the moment, because Jesus was getting arrested and he was trying to stop it, even though Jesus had told him, "I'm going to get arrested." And Peter tried to help the situation by slicing off somebody's ear, and Jesus grabbed the ear and healed the man right there in front, you know? But you can't really look down on Peter, because he got emotional in that moment. I mean, the rest of the disciples had already ran away. So here's Peter 50 days later, or sometime later, just a month or so later, and here he is. He says, "By what power?" And Peter says, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders, if we're being questioned today because of a good deed done to someone who was sick, or being asked how this man had been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that this man is standing before you in good health by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth." Amen, right? We like the name of Jesus, don't we? Man, I'm going to have to get out there and start amening myself, you know? There you go. I need somebody to walk behind me with a sign. Anyway, here we go. "Good health because of Jesus, whom you crucified." Man, "whom God raised from the dead. This Jesus is the stone that the builders rejected, and it became the cornerstone. There's no salvation in no one else, for there's no other name." Well, it's good, isn't it? "No other name under heaven given among mortals by which we must be saved." Well, we know that scripture, don't we? There's no other name. Now when the elders and the scribes and the Pharisees all saw the boldness of Peter and John and realized they were uneducated and ordinary men, they were amazed and recognized them as had been in the presence of Jesus. Man, get ready to grow. I'm telling you, that contained in that story is one of the surest principles of growing in God, is hanging out with him. Not just being formal and I'm going to go to God's presence on Sunday in a church, which is a good thing to do. And this one is a good church to come to. I like coming to this church. I come to this church every Sunday. So anyway, for better or for worse. They took note that these unlearned people, that these common people to them, these people that they looked down their nose at, had answered them so well and with such an authority that they took note that they had been in the presence of Jesus. If you're going to grow, if you're going to let God expand you, if you're going to let God take you from where you are to where he wants you to be, if you're going to fulfill what John said in chapter 1, where he said, "To as many as believed on his name, Jesus gave the right," which is a twofold word. It means just authority. And in that context, in John chapter 1, it means the authority and the power to fulfill that authority. the authority to make that decision and the power to see that decision through. He said, to as many as believed on his name, Jesus gave us the right to become the children of God. I don't know about you, but I like growing in God. I like it when God makes me want to throw a book across the room. Usually it's my Bible, but now I don't do it because it's an iPad and they don't like that very much, you know. Anyway, but it's good to grow. It's good to let God expand your grace. Listen, Jesus walked up to a man who had a withered hand. And you know what he said? He didn't say, oh, you poor thing. You've lived your whole life with this withered hand. He told him to do something he had no reference for. Jesus told him to stretch his hand out. It's withered. It's like when Jesus asked the blind man, what do you want me to do for you? I mean, sometimes I think Jesus is just being funny. I really do. But sometimes he comes in, and if he's not offending you, you're not hanging out with Jesus enough. Because he has a way of pointing out the things that are, I mean, the whole scripture in Proverbs that says iron sharpens iron. Yeah. That scripture is nowhere truer, more true than you hanging out with Jesus. Because he loves you the way you are, but he gives you power to become. And he and the Holy Spirit and the Father, because we serve a triune God, right? A Trinity. Three in one. So, they like to discover things about you that you don't really realize are a problem. Now, I know none of us in here think that God has a problem with us at all. I mean, because he doesn't have a problem with us, but we might have a problem inside of us. We might have an attitude that needs to be changed. We might have some thinking that needs to be changed. I mean, have you been growing? You know, I've had people tell me, not in this church, in other ministries. Can't even speak this morning. Said, you know, I've been a Christian for 35 years. And you look at their life and you think, yeah. You think, no, you gave your heart to God 35 years ago and you never grew. You know? I mean, isn't that what the one of the epistles said? It said, you know, I want to give you real spiritual food, but I keep having to give you milk in a bottle. Right? Because you're not growing. Because you're the same person you were 35 years ago. Because you haven't changed anything. Because God you haven't said yes to God. Because that's what happens. I mean, in Peter's life, he got confronted with stuff all the time. I mean, good gracious. He thought one time he was trying to protect Jesus. And Jesus said, this and this is going to happen to me. And Peter said, no, it's not. I'll never let it happen to you. And he said, get behind me, Satan. Right? Was Peter actually embodying I cannot speak today. Was Peter actually, let's use the word channeling. What a New Age word. Was Peter actually channeling Satan? No, but he was saying what Satan would have said if he was standing there in front of him, right? Because if Satan was smart, he would have protected Jesus from the Jews and the Romans. He would have. He wouldn't have let him go to the cross, because once he went to the cross, everything changed. When he left an empty tomb, everything changed. When he was seated in heaven in a seat of dominion and power, everything changed. Because in that moment, humanity began to realize, like Paul said in Ephesians and Colossians, that you have been in Christ since the foundation of the world. I love to say this next phrase. Y'all remember Job? Job was the brunt of a bet between the devil and God. So we understand the story. He lost everything, and his friends tried to help him out. Friends like that, you don't really need any enemies. And then God was talking to Job. And God's asking Job, where were you when I laid the foundations of the world? And if Job had read Paul, he could have said, I was in Christ the whole time. I was in Christ. See, you can be in Christ, but that doesn't mean that you're grown. That doesn't mean that you're mature. That doesn't mean that you have a drive and a yearning to know God more. When I was younger, I used to love to listen to Jesse Duplantis because he was so funny. He still is funny. But I remember one of the books that he wrote was about a dream or a vision that he had in Magnolia, Arkansas, of going to heaven. Anybody ever read that book? Anybody know the name of it off the top of your head? Something about glory, I think. Anyway, he had this dream, and he said he's seeing the throne room, and every time God would shift on the throne, the Father would shift on the throne, the angels would all fall down and begin to worship him because they saw a bit of God that they had never seen before, yet they stand there for all of eternity worshiping God. And they're seeing something different about God that they had never seen. I mean, if all you read was the book of Exodus, you would think God has a very low emotional quotient. Very low emotional level. How about that? Not able to control their emotions. Not able to regulate their emotions, which is a sign of an adult, right? Because if we don't regulate our emotions, then every time somebody makes us mad, we just lose it, right? I mean, which is always fun, but it doesn't get anywhere. And I'm kidding; it's not always fun. But God would get mad at the people of Israel, and He would get mad at them about things they didn't know. And how are they supposed to know? Because they've been in slavery for 400 years, right? Not these people, but as a people, they were in slavery for 400 years, right? I mean, he'd go to Moses and say, just let me kill them all. I'm going to kill them all. And Moses would go, no. What would the Egyptians think if you brought all your people out here and killed them? You know? And then Moses, a little later on, why don't you just kill them all, God? Just take them out. Just eliminate them. I mean, if God and Moses ever got on the same page, we wouldn't have that story at all. But you read that story and you think, God sure had a short fuse. I mean, Aaron had two sons that offered fire that God didn't ask them to offer at the altar, right? And what happened? The fire came out of the altar and consumed his two sons. And that's not the part that bothers me the most. He looks over at Aaron and God doesn't look over, but God tells Aaron, I guess through Moses, and says, don't grieve for them now. And I read that story and I go, I don't even know who that is. I don't have any reference for that. I mean, if God was going to send fire to consume someone, I am the candidate for it. The story that Karen was saying, how I spoke in tongues and prayed in tongues all the way from Macomb, Mississippi, down to New Iberia, Louisiana. Yeah, that part was, she told that right. What she didn't tell you is that after I danced with all her cousins and I had done what I could do to the keg of beer that they had there, I was sending my son, Cody was probably 4 or 5, I was sending him across the room to get me another cup from the keg because I couldn't walk that far. You know how I got busted? This is funny. He's outside at his grandmother's, my mom, Bertha's house, like a week later, 2 weeks later. And he's going over to the faucet outside, and he's filling up a cup, and he's taking it back to a place in the yard, and he's just pouring it out. And he's going over there and he's getting it and he's pointing. And he does this back and forth like 5 or 6 times. And Mama just asked him, Cody, what are you doing? He said, I'm getting beer for my daddy. Oh, oh. I was 20. I don't know how old I was. I was in my mid-20s and I was not old enough to drink, according to my mother. I didn't have a membership at the wedding. Okay. So anyway, you guys okay? So if anybody was going to get burned up, it would be me. It would be me. It would be me. He may not remember all the things that I did, but I remember the highlights. What I'm saying is they had a perception of God in the Old Testament that Jesus destroyed when he came. He said things like, you've read it written, but I say to you this, right? He changes things because John said in the first chapter that no one has seen God face to face. And John was Jewish and knew all about Moses. Because no one had really understood God until Jesus came. And the only human that has ever completely understood the Father is Jesus. But that doesn't excuse the rest of us from not going to Jesus' Father's school and learning at his feet. They were changed, Peter and John were, because they were in the presence of Jesus. I love that scripture that says, blessed are those who are planted in the house of God. They were an agricultural society. They understood planting things and seeing them grow when they were nourished, right? But I want to ask you something. Where is God housed on this planet? Exactly. Blessed are those who flourish in the house of God. When you begin to understand that God is in you, that the God who created the heavens and the earth, before he did that, the Bible says we were in Christ. I don't understand that statement. I like it, but I don't understand it. But I understand this, that I know that the more I celebrate the presence of Jesus and the more I desire the presence of Jesus and the more I realize that the presence of Jesus is with me, the more I grow. We sang that song this morning. He's something about the shadows, right? What was that lyric? His name is greater than the shadows or something like that, to that effect. And I thought, you know how a shadow exists? Because it can't exist in itself. It only exists in a situation where an object is blocking the light. That's where a shadow comes from, right? It's only present in the light. There has to... Are you serious? My iPad has got an alarm going off over here because it must be 11. It's not even 11:30 yet. It's 11:28. I got 2 minutes, iPad. Where the light is in you. Growing in God and growing, maturing in Christ is about letting the light out of you. It's about opening the shades and letting the light out. You don't have to let the light in. You did that when you said, yes, God. And it lets out when you say, yes, God. So we say, yes, God. Amen. Let's all stand. That's a good opening for a series. Next Sunday we'll move on in Peter's life, but it's about realizing that God has got to, that no one wants you to grow more than he does. No one wants to expand your thinking more than he does. Amen. Pray this prayer with me. Father God, Lord, I thank you for your sweet presence in my life. Lord, I pray that the light of heaven shines out of me. Grow me up. Change me, God. Take my thoughts and teach me how to make them yours. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a wonderful afternoon. Be blessed. Amen. Felt like fall outside today, buddy.